Our reading from today is taken from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. You may be seated.
Well, we have a new year and a new series that we're beginning on the book of Romans. We'll be going through the book of Romans for quite an extensive time. And so I encourage you during your own quiet time to take time to read the book of Romans for yourself, to just grow familiar with it, because Romans is a very special book. Romans is Paul's magnum opus, his masterpiece, his piece de resistance, his crowning achievement in the minds of many scholars and theologians. Of all the letters that Paul wrote, this seems to be one that is the most quoted and referred to in the church. And I just want to give you kind of a synopsis of all of the different theologians over history and what they thought about Romans. Martin Luther wrote of this letter this way. He said, for the first time when he understood it, he said, "Thereupon I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise." Romans is really the book that led to the Reformation in many ways. John Wesley, upon reading Romans, said this, "His heart was strangely warmed by the good news that he discovered there." Frederick Louis Godeau, in his introduction to the classic commentary on Romans, said, "The probability is that every great spiritual revival in the church will be connected as effect and cause with a deeper understanding of this book, Romans." John Calvin, "When anyone gains a knowledge of this epistle, he has entrance opened himself to all hidden treasures in Scripture." And contemporary pastor Timothy Keller said, "Romans is, at the heart of it, a letter about the gospel." And so a greater understanding of Romans is essential for anyone who wants to be a follower of Christ. And we're going to be looking at that basically almost till the end of summer when it's 80 degrees outside, hopefully. You know, I already kind of keep record of the weather, and we had one day in the 90s. We've had 4 days in the minus 30s. So that's just a comparison for weather, but In today's world, one of the common ways of sharing Christ is also known as the Romans Road. It's a way to explain the gospel, a way to help a person come to know Christ. And I'm going to actually go through that a little later in the message. In fact, there are many different simplified versions of trying to explain what the gospel means. In fact, I encourage every believer to know as many of those ways to explain the gospel as possible. And Romans Road is a way to explain the gospel using only verses from the book of Romans. And so we're going to go through that a little later at the end of the message. But I want to encourage you that Romans just about tackles every theological topic that we can study as a believer. Now, it doesn't cover every angle of the theological topic, but it does cover nearly every theological discussion known to the church. Maybe you did this when you were in high school, when there was like a book you had to read, and you didn't really want to read that big, thick book, so you went to the store and you found what was called the Cliff Notes. Anyone ever do that? Well, at least one person was willing to admit it, and he's the library's husband. So none of you have ever looked at the Cliff Notes. You've read the entire book. You just skipped reading both. Okay. Well, in a way, I want you to think of Romans as kind of the Cliff Notes for the entire Bible. And recently, it's not called the Cliff Notes. There's all these different books that are out there now. It's the Complete Idiot's Guide to... You've seen those, haven't you? Or similarly, it's the Insert the Topic for Dummies. There's all kinds of not-so-nice titles to imply a condensed version for understanding a topic. Well, Romans is kind of that condensed version for us understanding nearly all of those theological issues that we might tackle throughout the church. But I want you to really take seriously sometime, read the book of Romans. Maybe read it in a different or a couple different translations just to kind of familiarize yourself again. Today is really an introduction to the book of Romans. It's not going to tackle all of those theological points. It's going to tackle a few. But I just want to answer some of the key questions of the book of Romans. The who, the what, the where, the why, and the when. And if we grasp that, then we can grasp the context by which Paul was writing this entire letter. So, who wrote the book of Romans and who were the recipients? One of the nice things that we discover in the New Testament, the way they wrote letters, is they introduced themselves first. You've all experienced this where you've got a letter in the mail, it was maybe a couple pages long, and you start reading it, and then, well, maybe you haven't all experienced this. I've experienced this. Maybe it's because I'm not so smart. But you start reading the letter, and then finally you go, who wrote this? And you have to look at the end of the letter. Well, the New Testament way of writing a letter was to say, who wrote it first? So we have the answer to who wrote this very clearly. And in this introduction, Paul talks about himself. He gives three, he identifies himself in three specific ways. First, Paul refers to himself as a servant, and then an apostle, and then as one set apart. This gives us a fascinating glimpse into the heart of Paul and his call to serve Christ. The first way he introduces himself is as a servant. Some translations use the word bondservant. In Greek, it's actually the word doulos, which can also be translated as slave. What really is happening here is Paul is sharing his deep commitment to God and to Christ. He sees himself as one obliged to serve Christ, a person without exclusive rights to his own life. but that his life was bought. It was purchased by Christ, and it now belongs to Christ. It's Christ. It's not his own life. And so he's going to live as one who will serve Christ no matter what. That's kind of refreshing in today's culture, don't you think? When most people today, it's all about me, the Apostle Paul is saying, it's all about him. It's all about Christ. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for him. And I think that really is a challenge for all of us, don't you think? Our lives really don't belong just to us. They belong to Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying about his life. Second, the Apostle Paul balances this out with a statement of his authority. He says he's an apostle. Someone who is directly appointed by God for a distinct purpose. He has a divinely appointed role to fulfill for God. His role and responsibility, though, is not of his choosing. It is of God's appointing. This position was not to be taken lightly or ignored by those receiving the letter. He's not flaunting his authority. He's saying, this is what God appointed me to do. I have authority as an apostle. The third way that he explains his identity is he says he's set apart for the gospel. His reason for living was to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ. He was set apart to proclaim Jesus to the world. This meant that God had specifically chosen him for this divine role and responsibility. I love the way Pastor Stuart Briscoe explains this. He said, to Paul, it was no accident that he was a Roman citizen of the Greek culture and of Jewish training. God had separated him from the womb for this role. And why? Because he would discover that all of those cultures, Roman, Greek, and Jewish, would allow the gospel to be spread throughout the world. He had those three distinct cultures within himself that God had chosen him to share the good news so that it would spread. In verse 5, we read this, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. The Apostle Paul was called to be one who brings the gospel, set apart to bring the gospel to a growing world. Paul had been given a position of privilege and responsibility, and the grace, the divine enabling for that task at hand. Now, the recipients of this letter is the church in Rome. They also received a special calling, for this is what we read in verses 6 through 7. Including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Like Paul, the church in Rome was called. Called to belong to Jesus. Called to love one another and love the world that is lost. And to live as God's holy people. Now the letter was written specifically to the church in Rome. But it was not meant only for the church in Rome. Often the letters of the apostles were meant to be what we would maybe call chain letters. It was given to an original audience that was then to be passed on from church to church to church. And I believe it has been passed on to the church today. So what that means is that we have been called. We have been called to belong to Jesus. We've been called to fulfill his role, which is to love the world that is lost and to live as God's holy people. We are called, as the church in Rome was called, to fulfill that role. Going on to the next question. So what was the author wanting to communicate to his audience? Why did the author write this letter, in other words? What is the overall theme of this letter? What is amazing is this, that most scholars and theologians agree about this. You would find it hard-pressed to find scholars and theologians to agree on anything, but they agree on the theme of the book of Romans. Almost everyone agrees this. I read 5 different commentaries. They all state the same thing. And what is that theme? It's found in verse 17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. It is this truth that birthed the Reformation and changed Martin Luther's life. It is this truth that guides, leads, and directs the church today. Our righteousness is not in our doing. Our righteousness is in Christ's doing. And it is faith in what Christ has done for us that guides and directs the church today. And this is not just the theme of the New Testament. This was prophetic. In the book of Habakkuk, from chapter 2, verse 4, it says this, "Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by faith." A lot of times we think the Old Testament was all law. You had to follow these laws, and then you were right with God. The truth was, as the Old Testament was still all about faith. Faith in God who gave the law, who would eventually give Jesus Christ as a gift. It's always been faith. And that's how you and I are pronounced righteous before God. The problem is a proud person wants to give credit to themselves. A humble person wants to give credit to God. True followers of Christ recognize they need what Jesus Christ offers. It's never been, I did this, therefore I deserve heaven. It's been, Christ has done this by dying on the cross. And this beautiful cross that, again, Melanie was up to her tricks and created this beautiful cross. It's the cross. And it's faith in the cross that makes us righteous. And this is the theme of the book of Romans. In fact, the Apostle Paul refers to Abraham as the father of the faith a little later in the book of Romans. And it's the faith that Abraham had in the covenant that God would bring about the promise of a Savior. It's faith, even before the Savior came, and it's faith even after the Savior has come that makes us righteous before God. And then where is the letter being written from, and where is it being sent to? Some of this I've already answered. And when was it being written? In short, the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the church in Rome, as we have seen in verse 7, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. It is believed that the Apostle Paul was writing this letter on his third missionary journey from Corinth with the hopes of eventually coming to Rome. The date is approximately around AD 57. Rome, during those times, was known by the simple phrase, all roads lead to Rome. In other words, it was the center of the world at this point, which meant that it was a great melting pot of all types of people and cultures with many different backgrounds and many different religions. And it was the significant place for the gospel to take root and spread throughout the world. It is believed that the initial church in Rome was formed with Jewish believers, but as it grew, it included the Gentile believers and then began to spread throughout the world because people would come, hear about Jesus, and then go back home and share Jesus. And as a result, our world is even impacted today by the church in Rome. Paul is extremely thankful for the church of Rome, its position, its purpose and role. And in fact, verses 8 through 14, we're going to look at how thankful he is and why. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. All the world that the Apostle Paul knew. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayer, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impact to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, so I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Paul had a great love for the church in Rome, and he felt that love in return. It was a mutual relationship. He's thankful that this witness that the Church of Rome is giving is spreading throughout the world. It even spread to International Falls. This gives Paul great joy, and it feeds his desire to pay a visit, to be with them. It's kind of like, you know, I was thinking, what is that like? It's like when our missionaries come to visit us. They want to come and because they've experienced the love and support. They've known your prayers have been going out for them. And for them to come here, it's kind of a time of renewal, of healing from maybe some of the tough work they've done, because they're sharing the mutual desire to see the gospel spread. And so in March, when we have our mission week, we just love to gather, to hear those stories, to hear what God is doing, wherever it is in the world. That's what the Apostle Paul wanted to experience. And I don't know about you, but I love the stories. Don't you love those stories? Stories are one of the significant ways that we are built up in the faith. And we've been encouraging people last year to learn to tell your Jesus story, his story, how it's impacting your life. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that in 2018. It's a new year. It doesn't mean we stop sharing our stories. Where it's not about performance. It's not about, did I do this, do that? It's about where we realize we need a relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to briefly go through what I said I would. I was going to go through the Romans Road. I'm just going to read the Bible verse and then kind of share just briefly what that Bible verse means. Romans 1, 20 through 21, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and mind, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Simply put, this means that there is a God, and God wants to know us to know him. And then Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It's sin in our lives that keeps us from God. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his love toward us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It's not our efforts, but it's God's love that brings us to him. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." He did this, he accomplished this through Jesus coming and dying on the cross. Romans 10:9-10, "That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If we can admit we need Jesus, the result is salvation. Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on Jesus, and that's how one is saved. Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. The role of humanity is that we are to praise him and to live for him. And this is, in short, the Romans road. And if you want, you can pick one of those up at the end of the table. But I'm going to say a prayer before we come to the communion table. And we have a special thing this morning with Pastor Seth. Holy Father, we thank you and praise you that you are real, that you want a relationship with us, and that even though we were sinners, you loved us and sent your Son to die for us. Lord, we acknowledge that, we confess that, we admit that, and we call on your name and receive salvation. And now, Lord, we understand that our role is to praise you and to live for you. Help us to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.